5. The Bible says, "Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this day and the opportunity to be here. Thank you for those that are present. And Lord, we pray for those that would love to be here but are not able. And I ask that you bless them. And Lord, I pray now that you would please give me the words that you want me to say. Please fill me with your spirit and help me, Lord, to have liberty and clarity of thought that I can get across the message that you have for us today. And Lord, I pray that each one of us here would be alert, and we'd be attentive, we'd be focused on the Word of God, that you'd free our minds from distraction. Help us over these next few minutes to pay very close attention to the Word of God. And Lord, most of all, please help us when we leave here to be doers of your Word and not hearers only. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The verses that we just read are a portion of what is commonly referred to as the parable of the prodigal son. One of three parables that Luke records here in the 15th chapter of his gospel. And the majority of preaching that I have done and heard from this parable has focused on the prodigal himself. It has focused on the younger son of a certain man who took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. That's what it says in verse 13. And really the first part of this parable is all about this prodigal son, this one son that leaves the father's house for the far country. But this morning and also next Sunday morning, I'm going to focus on the elder son and on the father's house. The title for next week's message is What Every Church Needs. What Every Church Needs. And unless the Lord changes my mind, I'm going to use the Father's house that is talked about in this parable to show us what every church needs. The title for today's message is He Would Not Go In. He would not go in. And in this message, I'm going to use the elder son, the older of these two boys, to show you three main reasons why a lot of people will not go to church. And when I say will not, I'm talking about at least three categories of people. I'm talking one about people who have never gone. They've never gone to church. Church has never been a part of their life. And then two, I'm talking about people who will no longer go to church. There are a lot of people in this world who at one time were faithful to church. They were dedicated to church. Church was a priority in their lives, but now they are out, and despite all efforts from friends and family and other folk, they simply will not go back to church. And then thirdly, I'm talking about people who will not be faithful to go to church. Those are the three categories of people that I'm going to be addressing in this message. And again, I'm going to give you from this elder son, from what I see in his life, three reasons why many people will not go to church. First of all, I want to say this. There are a lot of people today that will not go to church because they're angry. They're angry. I want you to look with me once again here at the passage. Take a look at verse number 25. And notice it says there, now his elder son, talking about this father in the parable, his elder son was in the field. He had been out there working, obviously. And it says as he came and drew nigh. Notice it says he drew nigh to the house. He heard music and dancing. So as he gets close to home, he hears that there's something going on. He hears some music playing. He hears dancing going on. And in verse 26, the Bible says he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. He wanted to know what was going on. Why is the music being played? Why are people dancing? I want to know what's going on. And in verse 27, the servant said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf. Now, for those of you that are vegans and vegetarians, I want you to notice it's the fatted calf. It's not the fatted broccoli, okay? And it's not the fatted cauliflower. Praise God, I like meat when I eat. And I have never seen a vegan or vegetarian that I thought looked healthy. They looked sick and anorexic to me. The Bible says the righteous shall be made fat. That's what it says. A lot of righteous folk here this morning. Amen. The fatted calf. And for all you animal rights activists, the Bible says the father killed that fatted calf. That drives some folks slam crazy today. They'll raise all kind of you-know-what about folks killing animals, but they don't say nothing about somebody killing a baby. Ain't we messed up nowadays? We really messed up. But the Bible says the father killed the fatted calf because he hath received him, his son, safe and sound. Notice that very common expression that we use often, safe and sound. Now, how did this older son, this elder brother, feel about what had happened here? The Bible says in verse 28, and he was angry. He was angry. And notice the next expression. This is where I took the title for the message. And would not go in. It does not say he could not go in, does it? Doesn't say he could not go in. It doesn't say he should not go in. It says he would not go in. That means it was a conscious decision, a choice that he made. He determined and decided that he was not going into that house. Now, in verse number 25, the Bible says he drew nigh, so he did get close. But he would not go in. There are people today who will get close to going to church. They'll actually talk about it. They'll sit around at home and they'll say, you know, I need to go to church. They'll talk about the need. They recognize the need to go to church. They'll say, I need to go, but for whatever reason, they just simply will not go. They just talk about it. Then there's people that were in and got out, like we mentioned earlier, who will say things like, well, I know I need to get back in church. They'll admit the need. They recognize I've gotten out and I need to get back in, but they just will not go back to the house of God. Some people get so nigh, so near, that they will actually drive up in the parking lot of the church and drop their children off. Because they believe church is important for their children, but evidently it's not important enough for them. So they'll get nigh, they'll drive up, they'll drop them off. Maybe later when it's all said and done, they'll come back. But they themselves will not go in to the house. And what I see right here, first of all, in verse number 28, is one reason why this man would not go in is because he was angry. That's what it says in verse 28. He was angry and would not go in. Now, he's just been given some good news, what I consider to be good news about his brother. And you'd think he'd be happy. You'd think he'd be excited. You'd think he would want to get on into the house where they're singing and there's dancing and the fatted calf has been killed and get in on the celebration and hug his brother's neck and welcome him back. But instead, he's angry. And when I read this, I see a couple of people that I believe he was mad with. Number one, he was mad with his daddy. He was mad with his father. This elder son did not agree with the way his father handled his younger brother. His father went all out. You read the verses just prior to the ones we read here, and you see some of the things that his father did for him, and then you read in verse 25 about the party that's being had here and the fatted calf that's being killed, and this older brother did not agree with that. He did not think that his father had handled this situation the way it should have been handled. And so he's mad with his daddy. He's going to pout a little bit and be upset. And he's going to put his foot down and, bless God, I'm not going in. I'm going to show my daddy just how mad I am. I'm not going to go into the house. And there are people today, believe it or not, whether they would ever say it with their lips, which some will, but there are people today that will not go to church because they are mad with God. They're mad with their father. Because things in their life hasn't worked out the way they thought they ought to work out. Perhaps because God has taken their life in a direction contrary to what they wanted it to go. Because he has allowed certain tragedies or certain difficulties or certain situations to take place in their life or maybe in the life of someone they love. For whatever reason, they're mad with God this morning. That's why they're not in church. They're using that as their excuse and justification for not going to church. Either for not going at all or for getting in and getting out or whatever the case. But they're not going. And they're going to prove to God just how mad they are by putting their foot down and saying, look, if you're going to treat me that way or treat my family that way or my friends that way, I'm not going to church. It's anger in their heart why they're not going or why they won't go anymore. You know really what this means when somebody has this type of attitude? It means that they think that they know better what is best for them than God does. That's what that means. If they're mad because of how God has done something, let's be real about it. The Bible says that his ways are past finding out. Isn't that what the Bible says? And you know what that means? If his ways are past finding out, that means that you and I will never 100% of the time be able to figure out why God does what he does. Anybody in here ever have one of those mysterious things happen to where you just don't understand it? You don't know why God allowed it, why it took place? You ever been there before? I've been there a lot of times. And listen, if I continue to live, there'll be many more times when it's like that in my life. His ways are past finding out. We can't figure it out. But this is what the Bible also says. The Bible says he is righteous in all his ways. You know what that means? Whether I understand it or not, he's right. Whatever he allows in my life, whatever he allows in somebody else's life, whether I understand it, whether I can comprehend it or not, whether I like it or not, it does not matter. God is right. The Bible says, shall not the God of all the earth do right? And the answer is yes. He does right all the time, whether I can figure it out or not. But we sometimes actually think in our minds that we know better what is best for us than God does. Because he allows something in our life or somebody else's that we don't understand or we don't agree with or we don't like, we think God has not dealt us a fair hand. He hasn't been just with us. He hasn't treated somebody fairly. After all, look at all I've done. And by the way, and we're going to get into it more, if you look at this passage, when this elder son and his father has a conversation later on, what does that elder son talk about? He talks to his daddy about all the good things he had done for him, right? And after all, if we've been faithful and we've served him and we've done all this, then we ought to be treated a certain way. We feel a sense of entitlement about us and don't surrender ourselves and say, God, you have your way, and us just be faithful irregardless of what he does in our life. We have an idea mentality that if we surrender and sell out and do right, then we are entitled to be treated a certain way. That's not how it works, folks. Not how it works. He's God and he can do with us whatever he wants to. And he doesn't have to have my permission to do anything in my life. He can do with me whatever he chooses. He doesn't have to ask me about it. But because we have this sense of entitlement, we get upset when he doesn't do things the way we think it needs to be done. Because after all, we know what's best for us, don't we? That's what's going on in this young man or this guy's heart. I don't know how old he was at the time, but he gets mad with his daddy, and because of that, he will not go. Some people don't go to church because they're mad. Some people at one time were going to church, and they were very faithful, and God allowed a tragedy, and now they wouldn't go to church if their life depended on it. And whether they'd ever say it with their mouth or not, they're mad with God this morning. The reason they didn't get out of bed and go to church this Sunday is they're mad with God. I know a particular woman years ago. She was faithful in church, her and her family. Had a young daughter, teenage daughter. Just got her driver's license. Having a little thing at church. The church that they attended, and they were trying to get some stuff ready. And the young daughter went down to the church to help get everything straightened out and prepared for what they were going to have. And she left to go run an errand to pick up something, and on the way she got in a car wreck and was killed. To my knowledge, that family has not been faithful to church since. They got out. That man and woman got mad with God because their daughter, was doing something for the Lord, was there at church. She went on an errand to do something for the church and got killed. They're mad. God shouldn't have done that. God shouldn't have allowed that. I'm not going to put up with it, and I'm going to show him just how mad I am. I'm not going back to church. And I'm not standing up here this morning throwing stones at the family, because that'd be a hard pill to swallow, wouldn't it? Be a hard pill to swallow. But folks, it's stuff like that that tests whether you're real or not. It's easy for me to go to church and to be faithful and to be sold out and dedicated to God when the Lord's taking care of me and my family. What about when something like that happens? That determines whether you're real or not. And there's a lot of people that have stuff like that happen. They're mad, and they just simply are not going back. But I tell you, somebody else I see here, he was mad with. Not only was he mad with his father, he was mad with his brother. He put out with his brother about the way he'd done. And, you know, in that situation, maybe I would have been the same way. But I want you to look down here at verse number 30. Whenever this older son starts talking to his daddy, look at verse 30. Notice how he refers to his brother. He says, but as soon as this thy son was come. You notice he won't even call him his brother? You find me a place there where he calls him his brother. You know what? He just disowned that fella. He's so put out with his brother, he won't even refer to him as his brother anymore. So he wasn't just mad with his daddy, he was mad with his brother. And because his daddy and his brother were in there, he was not going into that house. There are people today, they may not necessarily be mad with God, but they won't go to church because they're mad with the brethren. They're mad with a brother or sister in Christ that they feel has done them wrong. They're upset with them. They're out now. Maybe they were in at one point, but they're out now, and they won't go back because they got into church and somebody in church hurt their feelings. Just a quick show of hands. Anybody in here ever had somebody in church hurt your feelings before? Yeah. Well, let me remind you of something real quick before you get too self-righteous. You've hurt people's feelings too, friend. There's been times when you've popped off your mouth and you've said things that you had no business saying, and you've hurt people's feelings too.
Right.
But my, isn't it amazing how we forget that when somebody does us wrong? Isn't it amazing how when somebody does us wrong, we suddenly get amnesia, and we can't remember all the hateful, negative things we might have said to somebody, and how we might have hurt somebody's feelings, and we take it all personal. We act like we're the poor victim that's been mistreated, and we've never done anybody wrong. Hey, get over yourself. Get over yourself, okay? You've hurt a lot of feelings before, too. But reality is this. Church people sometimes will hurt your feelings. That's reality. The truth is, and I hesitate to say this because I don't ever want to paint the church and Christian people necessarily in a negative light, but the truth is, I have been hurt worse by so-called saved people and church people than I ever have lost people. I really have. I've had that experience. You've had that experience. There's people today that they got in and they were going and somebody in the church did something, stabbed them in the back, said something, whatever it is. I don't know, but they've had some experience with a particular saint, or maybe it was a group of saints. But the actions of those people are now the excuse they use for not going to church. And the bad part about it is they feel justified in their decision. They're walking around feeling justified like, hey, I'm all right. I don't have to go back. Look, they mistreated me and they did me wrong, and somebody might have legitimately mistreated them and might have legitimately done them wrong, but that is still no excuse for them to not do what God expects them to do. See, that's the thing about going to church. I don't go to church to please you. You understand that? That's the problem with people. Their mentality a lot of times is they go to church and show up there to please people. And if your decision to go to church is just to please folk, good luck with that. I didn't get up and come to church this morning. I don't get up and go to church to please people. The primary reason to go to church is because that's what God wants me to do. And no matter what anybody ever does to me, I'll never be justified in taking my frustration with somebody else out on the Lord. And that's what happens a lot of times. I sat and talked with an individual one time, and he went on and on and on. He used to be in church and was faithful in church, and he got out of church, and I don't know if he goes to church anywhere now. But I was talking to him about it, and he told me, he admitted to me he wasn't going to church anymore. I asked him why he wasn't going to church, because I knew him and knew how faithfully he had been involved in it. And he went on there for 45 minutes telling me about this person, that person, what this one said, what that one did, was, you know, mistreated and all that. And when he got all done with what he said, I asked him this very simple question. I said, well, brother, what does that have to do with God? I said, whether you realize it or not, what you're doing is taking your frustration with those people out on the Lord, and he's never been anything but good to you. Y'all understand, just because we get mistreated, that is never a legitimate excuse to not go somewhere, to not go to church especially. It's never. But for some reason, that's how it happens. I find it amazing, though. Somebody will go to church, and because somebody in church mistreats them, their first inclination is to just stop going. They'll just get out and won't go. But they will go to work every day with people they don't like. And you know they don't like them because every time they get around you, they talk about how much they don't like them. Oh, so-and-so down there at work, they just get on my last nerve. They irritate me. They make me so bad. But it never crosses their mind to not go to work. Why is it that people are so quick and so easy to bail out on church, but they won't have that same standard in any other area of their life? I don't understand that. And listen to this before I move on. You just need to always bear in mind you will not give account to the brethren. Now I, because I'm a minister, may give account for the brethren, but I shall not give account to the brethren. I'm going to give account to Jesus Christ. And I can promise you this, when I stand before him, if I have not done what I was supposed to do because I was mad with somebody else, that will not be a legitimate excuse that holds water with him. I can promise you that. Some people are out because you're angry. Number two, let me move on. Not only would he not go in because he was angry, but I want to say secondly, he wouldn't go in to the house because of activities, because of what was going on in the house. The Bible says, verse number 25, now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. There's some activities going on here. There's some excitement. Some fun stuff happening here. And the fatted calf is being killed, and they're rejoicing and being merry and being glad. That's what it says down in verse number 32. And his father says, hey, it was meet that we should make merry and be glad. It was fitting. It was appropriate that we do this. These activities are going on and he would not go in. There are people today that will not go to church because they don't like what goes on in church. There are people that will not go to church because they don't like the music that is sung in church. They don't like the good old gospel hymns that we sing. Now, they like other music. It's not that they don't like music. They just don't like the kind of music that we sing at church. That kind of music's boring to them. It has no appeal. It doesn't do anything for their flesh, see. Good, wholesome, godly music appeals to your spirit and your soul, not your flesh. And what most people are about now, even most saved people, is the flesh. What makes my flesh happy? What pacifies my flesh? What makes me feel good? And they say that kind of music just does nothing for me. It's amazing that somebody who says they're saved could make such a comment. That the things we sing here does nothing for them, but when you get in their car and you see all the stations that they got programmed, how in the world could that mess have any appeal to you? But it does. They don't want to go in because they don't like the music. And some people don't like to go because they don't like the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. If it's a good church, the Bible's being preached. And the Bible is being taught. And that's the priority, as a matter of fact. Not the music, but the preaching and teaching of the Word of God is the priority. And there's folks that just don't want to go to church because they don't want to hear preaching. Amen. You know why they don't like to hear preaching? Because they like the way they're living. They like the way they're living. They like the sin they're in. They don't want to sit down in church and have somebody take a Bible and show them that what they're doing is wrong. So they don't want to go. They want to go to other places where they can feel comfortable in their sin, worldly places, so they don't go in because of certain activities. A lot of people today, even so-called saved people, prefer the activities of the world to the activities that go on in church. Church is not a priority with them. This is applicable to those that will not go faithfully. There are people that have come, but they're not going to come faithfully. Church is not a priority. It's not a priority to them. Their priorities are in the things of the world, and that stuff out there appeals to them a lot more. And here's their attitude toward church. I'll go to church if I don't have something else going on. I'll get back down there if next weekend we ain't going to the beach, or next weekend we ain't going fishing, or next weekend we ain't going hunting, or we ain't going shopping, or whatever it is that appeals to us. Church is just not a priority. That's why you'll have people that show up, you know, Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, and that's the only time you'll see them. Boy, it's getting quiet in here.
Good preaching.
Amen, brother. Might show up twice a month. You know, years ago, Saturday, people started making preparation to go to church on Sunday. Kids getting baths on Saturday night, getting in bed at a decent hour and that kind of stuff. You know why? Church was a priority with people. It's not now. People will lay out till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and if I can struggle out of bed in the morning, I might go to church. And then the thing about it is they get down there and they ain't half awake when you're standing up there preaching. I'm telling you the truth. I stand up here and look out at you every Sunday. Night before, they might have been screaming at the top of their lungs and all excited, but they come to church and so give out and wore out and put out. You can't get a grunt out of them when they come to church. It's not a priority in their life. They prefer the activities of the world. They get all excited about stuff out there. Come to church, they're not excited about it at all. Not at all. This is why, by the way, a lot of people won't go to certain churches. There are people that go to church as long as it's a modern, liberal, contemporary church, where every service they have a rock band. They don't mind that. They like that kind of stuff because it's like what they listen to outside of church, see? Y'all with me? Well, I'm going to preach whether you're with me or not, okay? I'm telling you. That's the kind of church. That's why little small churches like this, who try to put the emphasis on the Bible, you're not going to ever have real big crowds. Because listen, and I feel compelled every now and again to touch on this. just because I want it to be crystal clear what direction we shall not go as long as I pastor here. We're not going in that direction. Now, if you want to throw me out, you throw me out. God's always took care of me, and he'll take care of me now. But I'm telling you, as long as I pastor here, we're not going to be a liberal, modern, contemporary bunch of slop that puts an emphasis on stuff that is not important to God. We're not going to do that. And I understand that because we're not going that way, there's people that will never come here. You know how I feel about that? I feel sorry for those kind of people, but at the same time, there's plenty of opportunity for them. We're not going that direction. People that go to these modern, liberal, contemporary churches, but they won't go to a good, solid, Bible-believing church where the emphasis is on the Word of God. They don't like that kind of stuff. Most people today want to go to a church, if they want to go to church, where when they leave, they just feel so good about themselves. That's why you turn on Joel Osteen and there's thousands upon thousands of people in there, because he doesn't preach on sin. He doesn't deal with anything negative. It's all positive. Smiles all the time. Can y'all not see through that counterfeit mess? Let me ask you a question. Are you saved? Are you saved? Do you love God? Do you smile all the time? No, you don't. I'm telling you, I look at you every week. I can't get some of you to smile at me. But yet people have turned that mess on and he smiles all the time. He's not really that way, friend. Nobody is really that way. That's not reality. But that's the kind of stuff people want to go to. Your best life ever. Yeah. They don't like the activities that go on in church. Let me give you the last point for the two or three that still listen to me. Some people don't go because they're angry. Some people don't go because they don't like the activities. And last of all, some people don't go because of their attitude. They have a terrible, self-righteous attitude. Look here at this fellow, 28. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. Isn't that just like God? No matter what our mess is. You remember his youngest son runs off from the far country and squanders his daddy's living, the part that he gave to him. Whenever he finally decides to come home, you look back up in the verse number 20, 21, 22. You know what it says there? Verse 20. When his father saw him, he had compassion and ran. You know what his daddy did for that boy? He ran out to meet him. When he's in a mess. He's been in a mess and he runs out to him. But then he's got this other son who's a self-righteous Pharisee. You know what he does? He does the same thing. He goes out to him too. We have such a gracious, good God, he'll meet us wherever we are. It doesn't matter if we're self-righteous and stuck on ourselves or we're stinking because we've been in a pig pen. He's gracious and merciful to us. And he goes out and entreats his son, trying to get him to come in. And look at what he does. And he answering said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee. Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid like a goat," is what he's talking about. You give him the fatted calf, you won't even give me a goat, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. That thing right there reminds me of a parable Jesus tells in Luke chapter 18 about a Pharisee and a publican. Y'all remember that? They both go up to the temple to pray, and that publican, he just stands far off and smokes his breast. He won't even lift up his eyes, and he says, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." But then there's that old self-righteous Pharisee. Jesus told that parable for those that trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others, is what the Bible says. And he's standing over there, and he begins to talk about how I'm thankful that I'm not like all these other heathens in the world. And I'm not like this old publican over here, but this is what I do. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that. He talks about how he's happy. He's not like all the bad people. And then he gives his big list of all the good there is in him. That's exactly what this boy does. "I haven't transgressed your commandment. I've been with you all these years." And then there's that old boy over there. He's been out there devouring your living with harlots. He's a Pharisee is what he is. A self-righteous Pharisee. He's got a bad attitude. He won't even call his brother his brother. He's got a terrible attitude. And there are people who will not go to church because in their heart and mind they believe they're better than all us hypocrites in church. They believe it. How many times have you talked to somebody? I can't even tell you the amount of times I've talked to somebody, invite them to church, but I'm not going to church. Ain't nothing but hypocrites down there. Can we all agree we're just hypocrites? I don't even argue with people anymore. I tell them, you're right, I am one. I'm one of them hypocrites. Because the fact of the matter is, every single human being I'm looking at in this building this morning is a hypocrite. Every one of us. Is there any one of us in here that bats 1,000? Is there any one of us that always practices what we say we believe? Not a one of us. So all of us, to a certain extent, are hypocrites. I will give anybody that. But the problem is these people are self-righteous. They trust in themselves that they're righteous, and they look down their nose at other people. And here's the thing. The ones who think this aren't as righteous as they think they are. The ones that say that about us church-going people, they're not as righteous as they think they are. Because here's what the Bible says. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. Not one, right? And we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And none of those ever live 100% of the time up to their own standards themselves. You know what that makes them? That makes them hypocrites. That's what that makes them. But they ain't coming to church with us because we're just a bunch of hypocrites. They got a double standard in their life because they go other places where hypocrites are, don't they? They work with hypocrites and they go to work. Walmart's full of hypocrites. Right? How many people have you ever said, let's go to Walmart? I'm not going to Walmart. There's too many hypocrites down there at Walmart. Anybody? Y'all follow what I'm saying though? It's a double standard. Do you know what that is? It's an attitude. I don't need church. I'm good enough on my own. I'm better than that bunch that goes down there anyway. So I'm not going in. I'm just fine. I can get to heaven without any of that. See? People genuinely think that. Their attitude is, I don't need to go to church. I don't need anything they got to offer. I'm good enough of a person. I know some of those people. I see how they act out of church, and I have more morals and all in myself than they do. I don't need any of that. And you know, the truth of the matter is, I have met some people, I'm ashamed to admit it, that are lost, that have better morals and convictions than some people I've gone to church with. But here's what we better realize. That ain't what gets you to heaven, friend. And you can be better than all us hypocrites down here, but if you don't take Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll die in your sins. And as Matthew 25 says, he will appoint you your portion with the hypocrites. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's bow our head for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for letting us be here today, and thank you for loving us and being so merciful and good to us. Lord, we thank you for the word of God, and I pray that you would use your word to do a work in our hearts. We'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand together. Brother Randy. Please turn.